Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Students with disabilities, our focus this morning. Blosser Education Advocacy is the topic. Adam Blosser here this morning. Adam, good to have you here this morning, my friend. Welcome.
Thank you, Ted. I appreciate you having me in. It's a good opportunity to be able to come together and talk about the subject.
It is. It's a subject that, and we have talked about this before, but it really is a subject that when parents find themselves dealing with a student or students with disabilities, it's a whole new world, and you really need some help, and it can be overwhelming, I would think.
Yeah, one of the things that I think about is just the reality that the law does provide a lot of protections for students with disabilities, but often parents are not as familiar with those protections as they would like to be, and so when situations arise, they may not know exactly what to do or how to do it or what can be done in order to ensure that their student receives the education that they need and deserve.
Well, and a lot of times you think that you'll be able to handle this, and the thought that you might have to go outside and hire someone is not something that immediately comes to mind when you're talking about public school.
Yeah, I think as parents, we're used to taking care of our kids and making sure that they have what they need and making sure that they're getting the education that they need and deserve. And then sometimes there can be issues related to the law and special situations that, if we're not familiar with them, can make it difficult for us to advocate for our kids in the way that we would want to be able to do that.
You have a Facebook page, Blosser Education Advocacy, and we'll refer to that or mention that is something that if you have questions, you can go to, and it's a good resource to go to in these kinds of situations.
Yeah, it's I try to put out some content there. I'm honestly not as faithful about getting content on there as I would like to be, but I try to put information there that can be helpful to families and give them something to think about as they're seeking to advocate for their student. And so, yeah, it's a good place to go. And it's also a way that you can connect with me and be happy to try to help in whatever way that I can.
And I'm sure that when, especially at the beginning of a lot of this, when you're dealing with this, you may feel alone, and all of a sudden, and probably not too much time, you do realize that the situations and the topics you're dealing with are topics that a lot of people are dealing with.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think the reality is there are lots of students receiving special education services, and being able to connect with parents who are walking through some of the same things that you're facing, and be able to get advice and be able to make those connections, it can be helpful when you are walking through those situations so that you don't feel like you're all alone and trying to make it through on your own and just with the knowledge that you have.
As we approach the start of school, are there situations? I'm sure there are situations where parents or you enroll your kids, they start school, and then all of a sudden you're faced with you have a conference or someone says to you, you know, your child is going to need we'll need some extra help, or we start talking about IEPs that we'll get into. Does a lot of this start right at the beginning of school, or when your kids go to school, do you have an idea that this is going to be the path you're on?
I think it's different for every student. In the case of my student, we knew that my child needed special education services, and so he was participating in special education from preschool on. But for some, that's not the case. They don't present with any particular disability that's obvious. And so when they get into school, maybe they're having difficulty with reading, they're having difficulty with math or whatever it may be. And then they begin to struggle. And often what parents are told when the child begins to struggle is, you know, that's okay. Every child has their challenges. Mm-hmm. We'll keep working with them and everything will be okay. And sometimes that's just not the case. And so I think one of the things that I encourage parents to do is that if you do have a concern and you think there may be a need for your child to be evaluated for special education services, then you should go ahead and do that. So if you have a concern with reading, or you have a concern with math, or you have a concern with behavior, whatever it may be that's impeding your student from making the progress that they need to make in the general education curriculum, would be something that should cause you to say, okay, wait a minute, maybe we need to do an evaluation. And so I encourage families, if you have concerns, don't wait. Go ahead and have that evaluation, because if the evaluation shows that there's not a serious concern there, or not something that would require special education services, then nothing has been lost or hurt by going ahead and doing the evaluation. But if you don't do the evaluation and you just kind of kick the can down the road and you wait and you hope that this new thing, you know, if we just allow some more time to pass, or they're going to grow out of this, or whatever it may be, then perhaps you've lost a lot of time where they could have been receiving the support and help that they needed all along. And so parents should, if they have a concern, go ahead and request an evaluation for special education services, and they should do that in writing and make sure that that evaluation happens according to the timelines that are in the law.
Interesting. So don't wait. If you've got concerns, because sometimes I think you do feel like, well, they need to get adjusted.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't wait. And I think, you know, as we're getting ready to start the new school year, this is a good time to be talking about that, because maybe you have a kindergartner who's getting ready to go to school, and maybe they're some of the challenges that they have, you're not even yet aware of those things. And so as they get into school and you become aware and they're just not making the progress that they need to make, then go ahead and request that evaluation. Or maybe your child is been, you know, struggling for a while now, and you just haven't been able to figure out what's going on or why they're struggling, go ahead and request that evaluation and get that done as soon as possible, because the sooner the better if they do need special education services.
You mentioned get it in writing. I guess as we talk about a lot of this morning, that's a key too. Get things in writing.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons for that is that there are timelines in the law that have to be followed by school divisions when a parent requests an evaluation for special education services. And so one of the ways to ensure that those timelines are followed is to make mm-hmm. sure that you put your request in writing. School divisions have a responsibility to identify students with disabilities, and so they really should be looking for students who are struggling and recommending evaluations, but often it's important for parents to say, wait a minute, we need to do something more. Because the reality is, teachers, they have so much on their plate, and there's lots of kids in their classroom that they're focused on all of their different needs. And sometimes a student can fall through the cracks. And so that's why it's so important for parents to be involved and to make sure that their child is getting the help that they need.
And there are laws that have to be followed. A lot of times we hear with school systems, and you'll hear, you know, about lack of funding and those kinds of things. But especially in the area of special education, there are guidelines, federal and state, that have to be met.
Yes, absolutely. As far as evaluations, that timeline is in the law, and there's, yeah, I mean, the IDEA is there's a lot involved in that, and
yeah.
So, you know, even thinking about the timelines, it has been a challenge for school divisions at times to meet those timelines because of staffing challenges, but those timelines are in the law, and they are requirements. They're not suggestions. They're not dependent on appropriate staffing, that the law has to be followed, and parents should make sure that it is being followed with regard to their child.
Yeah. Now, we hear a lot about in local school districts about lack of funding, but this is that's not an excuse in this particular area.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, you know, that is something that the school division has to figure out. That's something that the, you know, the central office needs to figure out as far as their staffing and all of those things. The locality needs to figure that out. I mean, I have been to school board meetings and board of supervisor meetings to advocate for adequate funding. But when it comes to my child, not enough funding or not enough staffing or whatever is not going to be a sufficient reason for why my child isn't provided with the resources that they need in order to receive their education.
And a Blosser in this morning, students with disabilities, our focus, Blosser Education Advocacy, blosseradvocacy@gmail.com. If you want to get in touch with Adam and talk to him about a situation that you've seen or are dealing with. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We will be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Adam Blosser in this morning. We are talking students with disabilities, special education this morning. Blosser Education Advocacy is it's a Facebook page, and that Adam will put things and put some topics on there. And if you want to get in touch with him personally on any of this, blosseradvocacy@gmail.com. One of the things you get once this, I guess, all starts, Adam, one of the things, there's a lot of acronyms out there. It's special ed, and I don't know a lot of them. And a lot of times, I've tried to brush up on them over the last day or so to be kind of ready. But the one that you do hear when students sit down with any school district is an IEP, and it was an individual education program.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, and so it. I mean, basically, an IEP is a document, and it's a document that lays out where the student is. And so it starts with their present levels, giving information about, you know, where the student is academically, where the student is behaviorally, where the student is. There'll be evaluation data and things included in that. And the idea is to provide a baseline for where the student is, so that we know where they are, so that we know where they need to go, and we can design the IEP in a way that would be beneficial to that student. And so, sometimes people will want to jump quickly to the goals in the IEP or the accommodations in the IEP or any of those kinds of things, and those are certainly important parts of the IEP. But it starts with that foundation of a good, strong present levels of performance and academic achievement in order to show where that student is, so that we know where they need to be, and then how we're going to get them where they need to be.
One of the things, and I saw this on your page, and you pointed out that. If there are things in an IEP you disagree with, and one of the things you pointed out, or have some pictures of, or you can circle some things, and there may be things in an IEP, and I guess there probably are, that you disagree with it at times.
Well, so for one thing, I mean, decisions that are about what is put in the IEP are IEP team decisions, and so the IEP team comes together for an IEP team meeting. And the things that go in that document are the things that are agreed upon by the entire IEP team. And the parent is a part of the IEP team, an equal part of the IEP team. But the reality is, when it comes down to it, there may be times where there are things that the school division is proposing that the parent doesn't necessarily agree with. And so one of the things that the law allows for is for parents to give partial consent to the IEP. And one way for a parent to give partial consent would be to identify those things in the IEP document that they would not consent to, would mm-hmm. not agree to, and to make it clear that those are the things they do not agree to, and then to sign the document and consent to the rest of the IEP.
How? If I even though I, you know, when you say that I'm part of the IEP team, the parent is, I know as a parent, if I'm sitting in that meeting with other, especially educators, I'm going to feel really, I'm going to feel as though, you know, in any time that I have any objections, I'm not an educator. How difficult, how overwhelming can this be? Is it for a parent to sit through some of this?
Yeah, it can be very overwhelming because that's true. And even with the things that I've learned about special education, I'm still not a special educator.
Yeah.
I've not been to school for teaching students with disabilities, and I'm a parent. And so there are things that I don't know, I don't understand. And so one thing I would encourage parents to do is if there's something that's being discussed in the IEP meeting that you don't know or you don't understand, you should ask questions about that. Don't feel as if you're doing something wrong by asking questions about what's being talked about. And the IEP team, the school division, the school staff in that meeting has a responsibility to explain to you the things that you don't understand, because you have a right as mm-hmm. a parent to meaningful participation in the meeting. And if there's something that's being discussed in the meeting that you don't understand, it makes it really difficult for you to meaningfully participate. And so
right.
the way for you to meaningfully participate would be for someone to explain those things to you. I think another thing for parents to remember is that you can bring to the IEP meeting whoever you want to bring to the IEP meeting. And so if you're just really intimidated by going into that room
yeah.
And sitting around a table with lots of people from the school and it's just you, then don't feel bad about bringing someone along with you. Maybe it's a grandparent, maybe it's a friend. Whoever it is, you can bring that person to the IEP meeting, and don't allow anyone to tell you that you can't bring them, because the law allows for you to bring whoever you want to the IEP meeting.
No, I think it's because sometimes whether it's another set of ears to be able to hear some things, or just who knows the child and can be an advocate along with you, or just even just somebody to give you to just for some backing, because I just can imagine. I know in any times just in regular school, in a regular teacher student relationship, sometimes you can feel overwhelmed when you have someone in education saying, this is what we're looking at and this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that it is a good thing for parents to give a certain amount of deference to the educational staff in mm-hmm. the school, because as I said before, they are the ones who have gone to school and learned how to teach students with disabilities and all of those things. But that doesn't mean you can't ask questions. It doesn't mean you can't have concerns. And so when you do have those questions and you do have those concerns, parents should feel the freedom to be able to bring those things up and to discuss those as an equal part of the IEP team.
So once an IEP is signed and moved forward, and how often do teachers and do parents, how often do you, are there meetings, or do you refer back to that document, and how often is it updated?
That's a good question. So an IEP meeting has to be held every year. So there should be an annual IEP meeting at a minimum. And then every 3 years, a student is due for a triennial evaluation, which would be a full evaluation of that student. But if you have a question or if you have a concern about the IEP and you feel like it's necessary that the team comes together and discusses something about that IEP document, you can call an IEP meeting at any time. And so that's one of the things that I would definitely encourage parents is if you have a concern, your student already has an IEP, but you have a concern about something, you don't feel like things are going well, whatever it is, call an IEP meeting. Ask for an IEP meeting so that you can come together with the team to discuss the situation and discuss whether any changes may be necessary to the IEP. So you have to have a meeting once a year. Mm-hmm. You can have as many meetings as are needed in order to ensure that the student is making appropriate progress toward their goals and their IEP.
And I get, you know, best case scenario always is that there's a good working relationship with the parent and the in the team, and that definitely makes things smoother. And like you say, I mean, I know so many special ed teachers that are in this for all the right reasons and want to work with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had lots of experiences with lots of different staff, and most of those experiences have been positive. And you know, even when I've had negative experiences, I assume that most of those situations were people wanting to do the right thing, but maybe not knowing what the right thing was to do or whatever it may be. And so I think it is important for parents to come in with an attitude of respect and professionalism, and but also recognizing and expecting to be treated that way as well. So parents should treat school staff with respect and professionalism, and school staff should treat parents that way as well. We are equal members of the IEP team. And so as long as I go into an IEP meeting for my student and the staff is respectful to me and treats me professionally, I mean, I'm going to be doing that toward them anyway. And so it's going to allow for us to have a productive meeting that keeps at the central focus the student. The student is the reason that we've gathered for that IEP meeting. And so everyone around that room needs to keep that as at the forefront of their mind, is that we're here to make sure that this student receives a free, appropriate public education.
And it's got to be exciting for both on the parent side and for educators when you see progress or you see things that maybe at the beginning you never thought, or you know, you may have been told by somebody, you know, your student will never do this, and when they do it, that's for everybody has to be just a situation of rejoicing.
Yeah, I mean, I can give you a personal example of that. We prior to third grade, we were having a conversation about my child and whether he would participate in the SOL test. And that seemed kind of out there, honestly, from my perspective, as to whether he would be able to take SOL tests and be successful in those. And because I doubted my own child, unfortunately, I allowed school staff to convince me that that was not the right path for him and that he should be on an alternative path and take alternative testing. And so for third grade, he did take alternative testing, but in fourth grade, he took his SOL. He almost passed his math SOL that year in fourth grade. And then in fifth grade, he did pass his math SOL. And so, you know, I think those are the kinds of stories that are, you know, they're exciting. They're exciting to celebrate the successes that a student has. And I'm extremely proud of my son and thankful for the school staff who helped make sure that he was able to do that as in preparation for taking that test.
Yeah, what a great story. BlosserAdvocacy@gmail.com is an email address you can use. Blosser Education Advocacy. It's a Facebook page too. Adam Blosser in this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with Adam Blosser and students with disabilities, special ed, especially as we get back, as we get going into the to the school year, Adam. What are some of the things that the parents need to look be looking at or just aware of as we start a school year here?
Yeah, I think the first thing I would say is that it's good for parents as we're getting ready for this new school year to go ahead and get that IEP out and read through it and just kind of refresh your memory as to the things that you had worked together with the team to come together on and the kinds of things that are going to be taking place for your student this school year and the goals that they're going to be working on, the accommodations that they're going to have, and those kinds of things. If your student is going to be going to a new school or having a new teacher or whatever it may be, and especially if they're not able to verbalize a lot of information about themselves or whatever it may be, it may be a good idea to create some kind of all about me page or book or whatever it may be that you can give to that teacher that will, you know, just kind of share some extra information about your student in addition to what is contained there in the IEP. And then I think another thing is that I would just encourage, particularly at the secondary level, would be to send the IEP to all of your students' teachers. I know that they're supposed to have access to that IEP. They're supposed to have gotten it. They're supposed to read it. But just as a way for you as a parent to ensure that they do in fact get that document, that they are in fact aware that your student has an IEP, particularly if they're in general education classes, that those teachers get that IEP and that they're able to read through it and prepare ahead of the school year, that can be helpful. Another thing I would say is to just watch for regression over the course of the summer. If there's some things that your student was doing in the spring when school ended, but they're not doing those things as well or not able to do them at all when school resumes in the fall, that would be a red flag. It would show that there's been regression over the course of the summer. And a certain degree of regression is normal with school. It happens for all students, but it can be particularly challenging for students with disabilities. And so watch for that, because one of the things that you can do then is if there is regression and it's significant, you can document that, and it can be part of your conversations as you're looking at that next IEP and looking towards summer and the possibility of providing extended school year services for your student. It may be that your student has not been receiving extended school year services or has not been receiving enough extended school year services in order to prevent that regression from happening. And so that's something you can document and be ready to discuss with the IEP team. And then, as we talked about before, if you have questions, if you have concerns, if you have desired changes for the IEP, it may be necessary for you to ask for an IEP meeting in order to talk through those things with the team. And as we also said before, don't wait to address your concerns. So if a new school year starts and concerns arise for you, don't wait to address those concerns. Go ahead and bring those things up to the team and work through those things, because it never fails that come springtime, there'll be a parent who says, we've been having these issues all school year, but they haven't addressed those issues until that point. And so a lot of time has been lost that didn't have to be lost if we had gone ahead and addressed the issues on the front end.
Well, and like you said, Adam, early on about teachers have a lot going on, and unfortunately some students can fall through the cracks. So you've got to be an advocate for your child from the get-go on this.
Yeah, absolutely. Parents have to keep an eye on what's going on and be ready and willing to advocate for their child.
The whole thing about, you know, putting something together and, you know, meeting with your teachers, that goes in a lot of different ways. If you have students that have in multiple areas that require something, some extra care, or just to be able to meet with a teacher and so they can, especially if it's, like you say, a new school or a new teacher, so they know they can put a face and they can put a family with that particular student.
Yeah, absolutely. Collaboration between school staff and parents is essential for student success, and so whatever you can do to increase that communication and make sure that everybody's on the same page and knows what's going on and knows the student and knows the student's needs, then that's going to be beneficial for that student.
Well, and when students go back to school, the library always talks about, you know, their summer reading program and preventing summer slide. That happens to everybody. So be expecting that in some cases to happen.
Yeah, so I mean, it happens for all students, but it can be particularly pronounced for students with disabilities, depending on what the disability is and that kind of thing. And so just keeping an eye on that, watching for that regression, documenting that regression, and then thinking proactively about it for the new school year or the new IEP and the possibility of extended school year services. Is important.
Well, and you answered one of my questions, because you put an IEP together in one year, but things, people change. And I mean, in a perfect situation, you've got people there for extended years. Sometimes that, I guess, happens. But if it doesn't, you do need to kind of catch people up on where you've been, where you're going.
Yes, I mean, the IEP is it's a calendar year that it's good for. And so you may have created that IEP in one year and then with one teacher, and then the following school year, they have a completely different teacher. You know, the student's needs may have changed as well, whatever it may be. And so just kind of keeping up with that and making sure that everybody's on the same page, everybody knows what's going on, and that if there are changes that are needed to the IEP, that those changes are discussed and made.
You mentioned the extended school year. Is that over the summer that students will go for a certain time during the summer?
Typically, it's over the summer. It can be other times. It could be after school. It could be before school. It could be during breaks, you know, that kind of thing. But it is typically during the summer. And often school divisions will put together a program that they call extended school year services. But extended school year services is not a program. It's it's what a student needs in order to make appropriate progress in their IEP. And one of the things is preventing regression. And so it's an opportunity for a student to attend school beyond just the normal hours of school.
We talked earlier about just the importance of knowing, I guess, knowing rights, knowing what school districts are required to do for students with disabilities. Is there some central place where people can find out and be up to date on, you know, knowing what's required, what the school district needs to provide to meet the guidelines of the law?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing you can do is you can read the regulations yourself on the Virginia Department of Education website.
Okay.
You can go on there. There's a page, landing page for special education, and you can find all of the regulations and all of those kinds of things. However, that material can be a little bit difficult and challenging.
I wondered.
To make it through. And so there is an organization called PEATSE. PEATC, that stands for Parent Educational Advocacy Training Center. And so they have a website. It's PEATC.org, PEATC.org. And if you go there, They have a lot of resources in order to help parents with understanding their rights, understanding the law, understanding what kinds of things can and should be done for students with disabilities and that kind of thing. And so I would encourage parents to go on that website. They have trainings. They have different documents that you can look at and read. There's lots of information on that website. And then the other website that I would encourage parents to consider is Rights Law. That's WRIGHTSLAW.com. And there's a lot of information there. That website is not laid out as well as the BTSE website, but there is a lot of good information there. And there are a few books that Rights Law, Pete Wright, has put out. And one of those that's my favorite is called All About IEPs. And it's a small book, and it's kind of a question and answer format. And so questions that you might have about IEPs are probably addressed in that book. And it's a very, the thing I love about it is it's very accessible. Anyone can pick that book up and read it and find some good information that will be helpful to them in thinking through their student's IEP and what may be needed to ensure that their student receives the education they need and deserve.
We'll give those web addresses before we get out of here this morning. I thought, and I think this has been, I think it was in a recent post on Blosser Education Advocacy on the Facebook page, and you wrote that it's critical that school staff consider the needs of students with disabilities when planning school events and activities. And I think that's something that's real. It makes sense, but you might not think about that or even know it or consider it or figure, well, that's for those students, but my student's going to have to have something different.
Yeah, I'll give an example. I won't name the school, but I went to a summer connections thing just last week, and I was there. I went with my student who is getting ready to go to this school, and when I got there, I discovered that they were separating the students and the parents, and the students were going to do an activity together as students. And the parents were going to be receiving a presentation together as parents. And so I went up to the staff member there and I said, my son has autism and he receives direct support when he's at school. And, the staff member, and I kind of expected this response, but the staff member said, well, we don't have enough staff here today to be able to accommodate that. You can attend the student portion with him, or he can attend the adult portion with you, either one. And so, in that moment, I did choose to take him to the adult portion with me because none of the other students were going to be having their parents tagging along with them during the student portion. And so I didn't want him to have that either. It happened.
Yeah.
But afterward I reached out to the school just to let them know, what had transpired and essentially that I expect that in the future that they would be prepared for those kinds of situations and be prepared to make the accommodations that are needed for students with disabilities. Because for me, it's not just about my child and what happened to us last week. It's about all of the students in that school who may need additional help or support and making sure that they have what they need. Parents should feel like their student can participate in the activities of the school and be assured that they're going to be accommodated in those things. And so it's just important that when planning those activities and those events, and it's especially important for like special things, that school staff think about those things ahead of time so that the proper accommodations can be made.
So my first reaction is it's terrible that shouldn't happen.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the reality is that the school staff has a lot going on. Mm-hmm. They're preparing for a new school year. And so I, you know, want to be as understanding as I can be. But at the same time, it should not have happened. And I, you know, that's what I essentially said to the school staff afterward is this can't happen. My child's going to be here for the next several years. And I don't expect these kinds of situations to be continually happening. And so we need to get out ahead of that now.
And if it's happening to you, it's happening in other schools and elsewhere. So it's good to get that out.
That's always a big concern for me. Whatever I experience, I assume that other people are experiencing those same kinds of things. And I want to be an advocate, not just for my own child, but for others as well.
Well, and again, it goes back to what we talk about. You're dealing with things and parents with students with disabilities. Sometimes you're dealing with things you never expected to deal with.
Yes, I'm. You know, there's challenges associated with it, and you know, depending on what the disability is, those challenges can be different. But you know, it is challenging. If it was easy, then you know, we wouldn't need a law to make sure that everybody provides the education that is needed and deserved. And so, it's challenging, but we can do it if we're willing to roll up our sleeves and work together to make it happen.
Working together. Adam Blosser here with Blosser Education Advocacy, blosseradvocacy@gmail.com. One final break. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Adam Blosser in this morning as we talk students with disabilities, Blosser Education Advocacy, blosseradvocacy@gmail.com if you want to get a hold of Adam. One other thing from your Facebook page that I saw the other day, we've come a long way, we've got a long way to go. And I think that's kind of, as you just tell the last story, that fits in right here.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time where students with disabilities weren't educated in our country. And so I think it is helpful to remember that we have come a long way and progress has been made. But the reality is that students with disabilities still face discrimination in schools in various ways all the time, and we should be trying to work together to make sure that doesn't happen.
You gave a couple of web addresses of some places that can provide some information.
Yes, one is the Parent Educational Advocacy Training Center, PEATC, P-E-A-T-C, and that's PEATC.org. And so you can find lots of good resources there, lots of trainings, lots of documents that will help you. Whatever question that you might have regarding special education, you can find information there. And then also rightslaw.com, W-R-I-G-H-T-S-law.com. And the book that I recommend there is all about IEPs. And so both of those are just wonderful resources that can be helpful to parents as they try to navigate special education.
And especially this time of year, if all of a sudden this is something new to you and you're getting into some things, this will give you some helps along with Blosser Education Advocacy on Facebook.
Yeah, whatever you're struggling with, I think you can find answers at both of these sites, and I think both would be helpful to parents who are looking for information regarding their students' needs.
And if you have a concern, like you say, and you think you want an evaluation, act on it right now. Jump on that. Document things and with in writing, but don't wait on any of this. And if you've got an IEP, don't wait if you've got some concerns.
Yeah, don't delay. If you wait, you're wasting time, essentially, that time that could be spent meeting your students' needs. And so if your child doesn't have an IEP and you think maybe they may need some additional services, then you should request an evaluation. If they do have an IEP, you can always bring that IEP team together to discuss what the needs of your student are so that we can make sure that those needs are met.
Thank you for what you're doing in the community and for what you're doing here. And let's do this again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted. I appreciate you having me on today.
Adam Blosser, Blosser Education Advocacy, blosseradvocacy@gmail.com if you have questions or want to follow up on something you've heard today. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.